KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's mostly cloudy and 30 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly cloudy here for the balance of the day with a high around 39. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Well, officials of the National Weather Service are continuing to monitor the impact of a potential Midwest winter storm coming up later this week. Officials say a strong storm is expected to impact the Midwest and portions of the Central Plains from Wednesday evening through Thursday afternoon. An area of moderate to perhaps heavy snow may occur over the region. The storm is currently situated over the North Pacific Ocean and will reach the California coast by tomorrow morning. The track of the storm is still uncertain, and that'll determine the path of the greatest snowfall. But at present, it appears the best chances for any moderate to heavy snows are over the southeast portion of Iowa and northeastward toward Illinois and southern Wisconsin. Windy conditions may also complicate travel late Wednesday and Thursday. So keep it tuned to KJAN throughout the week as we get closer to figuring out where the track of this storm is and what areas will be impacted by some moderate to heavy snowfall later on in the week. News time is 8:02.
It's time to get more fun for your buck from your Verizon Authorized Wireless Retailer.
Get amazing deals on the latest phones like the Razer M. With its compact design, it fits in the palm of your hand, but still has a 4.3-inch screen size and features the new Jelly Bean software from Verizon Wireless for just $100 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Or the Intuition with its 5-inch display. It's part phone, part tablet. Only $150 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card.
Hurry in and get on Verizon, America's largest and most reliable high-speed wireless network today. Stop by and get the Razer M or Intuition, a TV store located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 712-243-3032.
New two-year activation, early termination fee, and other fees apply. See verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork for details.
In area news, at least two districts of school boards education are planning to hold their regular meetings tonight. The CAM and Elkhorn-Kimbleton school board meetings both begin at 7 p.m. and Anita and Elkhorn, respectively. In Anita, the CAM board will hold its annual and reorganizational meeting in the high school media center. And during that session, they'll discuss and possibly act on a resolution setting the bid date and public hearing with regard to the multipurpose building, extracurricular activities, semester graduates, revisions to board policies, a wellness center request, and the CAM Education Association's initiation of bargaining toward the 2013-2014 master contract. And in Elkhorn tonight, the EHK school board will discuss the early start calendar for 2013-2014 and try to answer any questions with regard to the reorganization and the related petitions. They'll also discuss and possibly act on suggested changes to the early retirement package, as well as approve the second reading of board policies, Series 500. The Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce reminds parents and children alike that Santa will make two more appearances in his cabin at the Atlantic City Park prior to his busy night on Christmas Eve. The jolly old elf will be in his cabin to visit with the children this Thursday, December 20th, from 5:30 until 7:30 p.m., and on Saturday, December 22nd, from 1:30 until 3:30 p.m. While talking with Santa, kids can enjoy a cup of hot chocolate, and so far he's seen more than 700 children at his cabin here in Atlantic. The Santa's Cabin is sponsored by the Atlantic Rotary Club and decorated by Brink Flower and Gift Company. Other area businesses, including Simply Hair, Midwest Health Center, and Atlantic Feedwater Systems, are providing the cocoa. Popcorn is also available to children who stop by the cabin. It's made possible in part through Meyer & Gross Real Estate. And don't forget, the horse-drawn wagon rides will be offered one more time before Christmas on Saturday, December 22nd, from 1:30 until 3:30 p.m. The free wagon rides start at the city park at 6th and Chestnut Streets. Some state lawmakers are questioning whether Iowa Governor Terry Branstad has overstepped his authority by signing off on bonuses paid to two state directors, raising their pay beyond state salary caps. Courtney K. Decker, director of the Iowa Department of Revenue, has received an $800 per pay period housing allowance for her first year on the job, making her annual compensation more than $175,000. Maximum salary set by law for the revenue director is $154,300. Public Safety Commissioner K. Brian London reportedly received a more than $16,000 recruitment bonus, making his annual pay $145,000. The cap was set at just under $129,000. Senator Jeff Danielson, a Democrat from Cedar Falls, said Branstad shouldn't be using bonuses to circumvent pay ranges established by the legislature. A Des Moines bus will carry a message against confining some hogs in small crates. The Des Moines Area Transit Authority bus will be wrapped in the advertisement for about 6 months. The Des Moines Register reports the Humane Society of the U.S. paid $14,810 for the ad, which shows hogs behind metal bars. It's part of the group's efforts against the use of crates in which some hogs are kept when pregnant. A similar ad will be placed on a bus in Washington, D.C. The National Pork Producers Council has offices in both cities. Iowa Pork Producers Association spokesman Ron Birkenholtz says he doubts the ads will hurt pork sales. Producers say the crates protect sows, but animal advocates say the small crates are cruel. The Des Moines City Council is set to consider restrictions on door-to-door peddlers of everything from magazine subscriptions to vacuum cleaners. The City Council is set to vote on the matter tonight. The move comes months after Councilwoman Christine Hensley first suggested restrictions after several residents complained of aggressive door-to-door peddlers. The restrictions would include rules that would limit door-to-door solicitations between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m., as well as requirements for peddlers to acquire a city permit. Getting a permit would require a $400 bond and background check, asking whether applicants are registered sex offenders. Groundbreaking pollster George Gallup may be known for founding the survey organization that tracks people's opinions on the President of the United States, but he began his career with a more personal concern, getting his mother-in-law elected to statewide office. Ola Babcock Miller was a huge underdog in the 1932 race for the Iowa Secretary of State. Gallup conducted an informal poll of voters for her and learned that highway safety was a top concern. Miller campaigned successfully on the issue and then went on to found the Iowa State Patrol. That campaign is recounted in a collection of papers that Gallup's family recently donated to the University of Iowa, documenting the life of the father of modern political polling. The papers are expected to be used by researchers studying early polling on elections and marketing. The latest census figures show that Iowa had a net loss of more than 4,000 residents due to migration in 2011. The Cedar Rapids Gazette reports the latest American Community Survey showed that 74,516 people left Iowa in 2011, and 70,405 people moved to the state from elsewhere. That means Iowa had a net loss of 4,111 residents last year. Nebraska was the most popular place for Iowans to move to, with 9,575 moving west. The second was most popular destination was Illinois, where 8,490 Iowans moved to. But 13,725 Illinois residents also moved to Iowa, so that state was the biggest source of Iowa's population gain. The census says 13,345 residents of foreign countries moved to Iowa as well. The U.S. Census Bureau counted the number of people in America back in 2010, and now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is preparing to collect data for the Census of Agriculture. Renee Picanso is director of the project.
The census is used by everyone in agriculture and rural America as well. It's used to base numerous decisions on, as well as to formulate farm policy and planning for rural America.
The Census of Agriculture is conducted every 5 years. 3 million surveys for the latest census were mailed last Friday. Farmers are asked a range of questions, including how much they spend to put a crop in the ground and how many animals were raised on their farm during the past year.
We do have a few new questions this year. We have an expanded section on internet use. We have an expanded section on equine. And we're also asking additional questions on renewable energy to find out what's going on the farms with use and development of renewable energy.
According to Picanso, the time required to fill out the survey depends on the type of operation you have.
We've estimated a maximum of 60 minutes, but there are many producers who only farm one crop or maybe only have one livestock item, and in that case, it can take them as little as 15 minutes to fill it out.
The due date for the survey is February 4th of 2013.
Farmers can respond via mail or over the internet. Any farmer or rancher who doesn't respond by February 4th will get a follow-up questionnaire in the mail or a phone call or even a personal visit.
Participation in the census is required by law, and like the U.S. Census of People, individual responses are to be kept confidential. The first Census of Agriculture was conducted back in 1820, along with a census count of people. After the 1978 Census of Agriculture, the USDA decided to send out the census every 5 years, in years ending with a 2 or a 7. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, The people of Newtown, Connecticut aren't yet ready to think about when and where classes will resume for the students of Sandy Hook Elementary School. Today, they're starting to bury the victims of Friday's shooting rampage that left 20 children and 6 adults dead at the school. Around the country, meanwhile, teachers are expecting to face questions today from anxious students about Friday's shooting. One Florida middle school teacher says it's going to be a tough day. A senator who's a lifelong member of the National Rifle Association says it's time to discuss gun policy and move toward action on gun regulation following the school shooting in Connecticut that killed those 20 children. Joe Manchin, a conservative West Virginia Democrat, told MSNBC today that he agrees with New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is advocating banning the sale of assault weapons. Manchin says that he's a proud outdoorsman and hunter, but this doesn't make sense. He's the most prominent gun rights advocate to speak publicly in the wake of the shooting. Police in Topeka, Kansas may have arrested the suspect in the shooting deaths of 2 police officers. They were shot and killed outside of a grocery store early yesterday while responding to a report of a suspicious vehicle. Early today, authorities surrounded a house in Topeka in a standoff that lasted nearly 2 hours, during which shots were fired. They eventually removed a man, and a television station describes him as the suspect in Sunday's shooting. Stock futures are mixed ahead of the start of the new trading week. A survey of top business economists released today shows that most believe there will be continued modest growth next year, led by rising demand for housing. And South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is planning to announce today her choice to replace Republican Senator Jim DeMint, who's resigning in a couple of weeks, to take charge of a national conservative think tank. The appointee will fill the seat until 2014, when voters will choose someone to fill the remaining 2 years of DeMint's term. Haley's 5 finalists reportedly include former South Carolina First Lady Jenny Sanford. News time is 8:12.
Are you looking for something this holiday season that the whole family can enjoy? Here at the TV store in Atlantic, we have you covered. With Dish Network and the Blockbuster Movie Pass, you can now avoid the traffic jams, long lines, and enjoy movie nights from the comforts of your own home.
If you do have to go out for some last-minute shopping, be rest assured you won't have to miss any of your favorite shows or the big game with Hopper Whole Home HD DVR. With the Hopper from Dish, you can record all of your favorite shows and then watch them on any TV in the house, all in high definition.
Dish Network, a gift that keeps on giving all season long. Stop in today to the TV store, your locally owned, authorized Dish Network retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 243-3032.
Limited time offer, 24-month agreement required, cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, Anna Brown, age 99, of Earlham, died Wednesday in Winterset. Funeral services for Anna Brown will be this morning at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Margaret Ann McGill, age 84, of Kansas, died Wednesday. Graveside services for Margaret McGill will be today at 11:30 in the Layton Township Cemetery at Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Mary Anderson, age 70, of Exira, died Friday. Funeral services for Mary Anderson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Lillian Granny Mae Mahert, of age 89, of Guthrie Center, died Friday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Lillian Mahert will be held on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the Kotrava Smith Funeral Home in Gregory, South Dakota. Dorothy Evans, age 93, of Casey, died Saturday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Dorothy Evans will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Lyle Short, age 72, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Lyle Short will be Wednesday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Billy Taggart, age 89, of Manning, died Sunday. Services for Billy Taggart are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Naomi Keppel, age 87, of Bayer, died Friday in Carroll. Graveside services for Naomi Keppel are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. And Rosemary Fike, age 57, formerly of the Orient area, died Wednesday in California. Funeral services for Rosemary Fike are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.